Let's go to the Lord in prayer before anything else, right? Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for such a wonderful moment where we can gather together in your name. I pray that you please empower us, challenge your children, encourage those who are discouraged, strengthen the weak, and help us to realize, oh Lord, the task that you want us to do. Bless your word now, Lord. May you find a lodging heart in our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you so much. May I request each one to stand up as I read the passage in the scriptures. That is in respect of the Word of God. All right, I like to read this last prayer of Jesus Christ, if you would, in John chapter 17, and verse 1 and 3. There you go. John 17, 1 to 3. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. And as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Thank you. Well, this, we all know the prayer of Jesus Christ in Garden of Gethsemane. And right there he struggling, he anguish in prayer. And the Bible says that drops of blood trickled and flowed down from his crown. Probably the most serious prayer ever prayed here on earth. I want to speak on a subject, making him known. Last time I was here, I spoke on knowing him. And now, the second part of the purpose of the church, the mission of the church, is making him known, right? Let us remember that, especially you as a member of this church. Let us know him, and let us make him known. Matthew, another passage of scriptures that I'd like to show you. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has given to me in heaven and on earth. And he said to his disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the ages. His last will, his testament, his... this is his purpose, that the disciples may know Jesus Christ, that's what his, and that they may know the Father. The first scriptures that I read to you, he said in John 17, as you have given me all authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life as many as you have given him. There's a lot of theology here. This is salvation and being chosen by God, or what we call election. And he said, this is eternal life, that they may know you and the only true God, Jesus Christ. He is talking in third person of himself. This is his prayer to his disciples. This is his will to his disciples. This is his mission to his disciples. This is his last mandate to his disciples. It's for us as disciples of Jesus Christ to know him and make him known. All authority, I'd like to emphasize that. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth. The Father has given me all authority. There's no power on earth, under heaven, that was not given to Jesus Christ. Any power. From the largest blue whale to swim and to the smallest, tiniest bacteria that are moving around, they have no power at all except from God. Then he said, with all this power and with all this authority, I'm giving you this. Go to all the worlds and preach and teach the gospel to every human being. If we take that as our mission, our goal in life, if we take that as serious as Jesus Christ is trying to emphasize to his disciples, we would have no problem inviting people. We would have no problem filling this church at all. Somebody said, if you don't evangelize, you will pretty soon fossilize. That's why evangelism and discipleship is the key to any church, especially the Church of Jesus Christ. We're going to take hold of that responsibility. Actually, as a member of the body of Jesus Christ, we take it now as an optional, but it's our obligation. We were saved because somebody taught us the gospel. We heard the gospel. Somebody preached the gospel. Someone in your community invited you to come to church to hear the gospel. I remember a friend of mine, he is also a pastor now, but he has been inviting me every Sunday to come to church. It doesn't matter whether I'm drunk, whether I'm high, and I don't want to have anything to wear. But I go to church because this friend, you know, I cannot get rid of him. I don't want to say a pain, but that's what I feel. You know, when you don't want to go, you tell all your excuses, but he's there, inviting me to come to church. But the very purpose of Jesus Christ here, he rose from the grave to complete the gospel. He has to die for our sins. And that's why he was not preaching the complete gospel in his time when he was here on earth, because he has to die for our sins. And every time he has this quite huge crusade, a lot of people, but he's He spoke to them in parables. Because he knows that these are same people who are going to shout, "Crucify him." They don't know what they're doing. His prayer, "Oh Father, don't lay these sins on their charge, for they don't know what they're doing." And it's just to complete the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has to die first as a payment, an atonement for our sins. Then he has to be buried, of course. When you die, you have to be buried. He has to be buried so that he can rise again the third day, according to the scriptures. Similar scriptures that I, another one that I'd like to read to you. In Luke 24, verse 46 and 48, he then said to them, "Thus it is written," this is after his resurrection from the dead, "and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem." And he said to his disciples the same thing he is saying to us, and you are witnesses of these things. Maybe you're saying, I was not a star witness. I didn't see you, Lord. I didn't see you was crucified. I didn't see you rose from the grave. But since we got saved, we received the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus is alive. And who is this in me, living in me? Who is this giving me peace and joy and encouragement? This is the witness. And we are witnesses of these things. I can't help it. I have to proclaim God's word. I know it's hard to prepare. I know it's hard to read. And my wife Sylvia is telling my daughter, she's been trying to prepare this for whole 3 days. But I told her I can't finish this until I preach it. So I'm going to shorten this simple message. I'm just going to give you 3 points here. Very, very important. 3 points so you won't forget. This mission of Jesus Christ, making himself known. First is the Master. And demanded. And then finally, the message. If you are saved here today, the Master is not new to you. And you probably know him more than me. Let's go back to chapter 28 of Matthew and verse 18. Jesus our Master says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth." Coming from this perspective, realizing that there is no power on earth, in heaven and earth, came into existence, and no power of speaking or thinking or movement of anything from this body. All these power comes from him. Romans 13, 1 and 2. Paul is saying to the Romans, when they're being subjugated by Romans, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. The authority he's talking about here is the power. And the authority that exists are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority, whoever resists that power, resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. It's in the scriptures. If you have gone through from Old Testament to the New Testament, all through the scriptures, even at the days of Elijah, I want to remind you, remember when Elijah was this is a showdown of Elijah and the 450 prophets of Jezebel and the 450 prophets of Baal in Mount Carmel. Remember that story? And Elijah said, go over there and pray offer a burnt offering, and a God who would answer by fire, let him be God. At this time, the children of Israel don't know what to worship. They're worshiping idols. And Elijah came. And all the nation of Israel came together to witness this. And he prayed sincerely. This is not in the overhead, but I'd just like to read that in 1 Kings 6, 18 and 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering and the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said to the Lord God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, that this people may know that you are God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. This is why the Lord, answering prayers of Elijah the prophet, answering prayers of Daniel and David, this is how Daniel, when in the time of the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, that he was able to interpret dreams, that God, that the people may know God, who I'm sure with all God's power, he can reveal himself. But he had done that already. He had done that with so many miracles. He had done that with so many prophets. And they killed all the prophets of Judah, killed all the prophets of Israel. And finally, Jesus Christ came and they killed Jesus Christ. Oh, what a greatest, highest privilege that we can get to be servants of Jesus Christ, to be able to realize the purpose and the will of God for us, for this world, is for Him. It is the best way probably that we can glorify Him, to make Him known. Daniel, he said to Nebuchadnezzar, Chapter 4, verse 32, and they shall drive you from men, and you and your dwelling shall be with a beast of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen. This is the interpretation of your dream, King Nebuchadnezzar. He had a dream, a big tree being chopped down. And he said, 7 times in 7 years shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. It's not really by our own power. And we can get to heaven, not even the skin of our teeth. Not nothing from us. Ladies and gentlemen, that we can be proud of to get saved. Nothing. It's only by God's mercy. If we want justice, if we want fairness, if we cry out, that is not fair. What fairness is, we're all judged, we're all condemned, we're all dead in sin, and a person who is dead cannot do anything. Romans says that, Romans 3 says, no one seeks after God. None is righteous. No, not one is righteous. Even the kingdom of men, God gives into whomever he chooses. Last illustration I'll give you is the battle of David and Goliath. You probably know the story in Sunday school. And when David he's battling against Goliath. If I'll tell this story, and my view is Goliath has no chance of defeating David. David is so skillful. And with his faith and trust in God, he knows that God was going to help him. Who else killed a lion with his bare hands other than Samson and David and bears to protect his sheep? And David said to the Philistines, you come to me with sword and with spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. He said to that to Goliath, this day will I smite you, and I'll take your head from you, and I'll give your carcass to the hosts of the Philistines, to the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know, that's the purpose, that there is God in Israel. And he said to all the assembly, the people gathered, the Philistines and Israelites, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saved not with sword and with spear and with shield, for the battle is of the Lord, and he will deliver you into my hands. It's for the people who are present there to know God. Second thing I'd like to deliver to you, demand it, which is the Great Commission. Again, going back and forth to the verses that I've read this many, many times over. But the urgency is still there. You can read this 100 times, it's still there. The mandate is still the same. Jesus didn't say, wrap the gospel or just toast the gospel to everyone. Or just, use a user-friendly. No, the gospel is not like that, folks. You don't shave off the gospel to be able for a person to swallow it. It's the gospel. You have to preach the truth. And we have to say to people the truth. The truth is they are sinners. They, without repentance, Jesus says, without repentance, all of you shall perish. So the mandate is, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and again, teach them to observe all these things, whatever I've commanded you. This is our mission, to evangelize and baptize, and if I may say, catechize, which is in Latin means catechizare, or in Greek is catechizain. It means just simply to teach or instruct orally. You know, the truth is, if we don't teach our children, the devil will. If we fail to teach the gospel to this generation, mind you, the devil will not fail. We see that on TV. I saw men, you know, with their mustache and dressed like women and trying to teach the little children that are supposed to go to Sunday schools. What's wrong with the world? The world is always in a wrong side. We cannot be friend of the world and the devil. That's why we take the gospel. If we have the gospel of Jesus Christ, then gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. But if the church is as cold as Arctic, nobody wants to move, nobody wants to give, everyone is like scared to share the gospel, the devil is not ashamed. People out there, no shame at all. This is what the world needs. And finally, the message. Number 3, Mark 16:15. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go to all people and tongues and nations. The Master, Jesus Christ, our great commander-in-chief, demanded is to preach and teach the message is the gospel. You may ask, well, what is the gospel anyway? The gospel simply means good news. The etymology of the word came from the word evangelion. That's where we get our word evangel or evangelist or evangelize, which simply means good news. To evangelize, actually, in the word evangelion, is to proclaim good news. There's a lot of news, right, out there, but there's only one good news. The good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the only news whereby a person who would believe and trust him, his work, his atoning work on the cross of Calvary, shall be given eternal life to everyone who believes. That's the good news. He showed this by dying on a cross for us, and he has to rise again from the dead so that we can complete and preach a complete message. Let me tell you exactly what the gospel per se is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 4. There you go. Apostle Paul says here, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which you also are saved." This gospel you have received, where you stand, by which also you are saved. And you keep in memory what I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. This is the gospel, verse 3. "For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, the gospel. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." That is the good news, my friends. From a child of hell, we can be transported to the kingdom of God. From a person walking in the streets of the damned, we can be translated to a new person in Christ, promised to walk in the portals of glory with pavement of gold. How I know it? I lived that for so many years of my life. Raised in hell. That's how my dad used to call me. We have this curse word in Filipino language. Whenever he wants to scold me, he calls me son of the devil. Yeah, I'm your son. I was raised in hell. This is hell. In a place where I grew up, in that part of Manila and Makati, it's everything goes. And we can freely do anything we like to do. But oh, thank God, thank God. I said to myself, I'm going to die here. In 5 years, I will no longer be in existence. If I continue on my habit, if I continue in this wrongdoing, if I continue in this kind of lifestyle, I'll die. Or I'll end up in jail, and I still die. But I heard the gospel. These preachers says, you have to repent of your sins. And I know I'm a sinner. Because if a person is not convinced that he is a sinner, then he will not repent. Then he doesn't need your Christ. He doesn't need to be saved, because I don't even have a soul. Why am I need to be saved? So Jesus says it's impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, because they have everything. It's not necessary for them to pray, to ask for anything. They have everything. Until a person accepts that he is a sinner condemned by God, he will not repent. But until we preach to them and tell them that this is the remedy of your sins, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. For he said in John chapter 3, verse 18, he says, "He who believes in him, Jesus Christ, is not condemned. But he who does not believe, my friend, is already condemned. Is because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He is the only way of salvation. It's hard to believe that, but that's it. You know, Christianity is so exclusive. You can't, there's no way for any person to get to heaven, Jesus said, except through me, except he believes in me. There's no other way for your sins to be forgiven. Except you repent, you will perish. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. But it's extremely exclusive. You have to go through Jesus Christ and him alone. And the gospel alone can save man's life. There's a warning here. It is blessing. It is good news. But ladies and gentlemen, the flip side of good news is bad news. If it is good news to one politician, it's bad news to another politician. If it's good news to us, it's bad news to those who are unbelieving out there. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Is that our good news? Amen. If we believe Jesus Christ, we have everlasting life. But what happens to those who have not believed? And he who does not believe the Son of God shall not see life. I'm just reading what John wrote here. But the wrath of God abides in him. It doesn't matter whether it is your president, your son, your daughter, or your mom and your dad. That's what the scripture says. I cannot thwart it. I cannot change it. I cannot make it, wrap it like candy for us to swallow. No, it is what it is. Another warning here in chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 of 2 Thessalonians. Paul said, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that do not know God. And look at this. And who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You got to go through here. If you reject the gospel, there's no hope for you, my friend. And these shall be punished with everlasting destruction. I can't imagine that. From the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Eternal life or eternal damnation. This is 1,000 times more than life and death. We're not just talking of life and death here. We're talking of eternal life or eternal death. And the privilege, brothers and sisters, is in our hands. And it's our responsibility. Wrap it up. Make him known. Make him known. The master. His mandate. And our message. Let us pray.